Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 3rd, 2017. In turmoil, most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar, heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, if you haven't done it already, make this choice tonight. And the choice is to accept Yeshua in your life and turn away from the world. If you haven't made this choice tonight, you need to make it tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can also be sent by United States Postal Service and by email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests, if you choose to, will be taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitation for donations. In fact, we'll lose the address. In fact, you can send it to us with people send us letters with no address on them at all whatsoever. But anyway, however, we're here for you. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube, and some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. And another note, let's thank our listener base. It is worldwide in places like Ishevsky. Oh, well, in the Russian Federation, Madrid, Spain, Auckland, New Zealand, Dublin, Ireland, Dortmund, Germany, and, of course, cities in the good old United States such as Omaha, Nebraska, Plano, Texas, Aurora, Illinois, San Francisco, California, Detroit, Michigan. These are just to name a few. And, of course, Wichita, Kansas, which remains the larger group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your Son Yeshua's HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, President Donald Trump was, by a miracle, elected president. Yes, a miracle. You see, most Americans just don't know that Putin and his generals indicated that if Hillary were elected, Russia and America would be in a nuclear war for sure, they said, in just a few months after the election. Wow, so many lies, just like the one about Assad killing all his people and needed to be removed from power. It is an out-and-out lie. You see, the only reason there are refugees is because Hillary and Obama decided to remove Middle Eastern leaders, ergo, that was the Arab Spring. Yes, they did not flee Assad, but flood of war started by ISIS and the so-called rebels, which were created by Obama and Hillary. Yep, that was the fighters that President Trump just stopped arming, so-called rebels. Hillary wanted a new oil pipeline through parts of Syria, and that was one of the biggest reasons for the war. over a half a million refugees have been sent, have went back to Syria. Now, remind you, they're trying to put Syrian refugees. These people, when pulled, they're going back home. They're going to a place they love. Of course, they were raised there. Whatever. That since Russia has stopped, that Russia's really the one that stopped the fighting, 99% of it, inside of Syria, and that wasn't from the United States. So with the thugs stopped, the people are moving back. A half a million at least. The majority of Syrian people, when polled and talked to, well, they love Assad. He has an approval rating, get this, better than most world leaders. Yeah, that's right. Better than most world leaders. So after losing the election, deep state, who are nothing but puppets for the globalists, Illuminati, who want to rule the world, they're still pushing to do harm to the president and get rid of him as he's destroying all their wicked plans. Each day they try and tie Trump's hands more and more and more and push more and more and more for a world war with Russia. They want order out of chaos. Each day we get closer and closer to America being nuked. Right now, folks, we are on borrowed time, or maybe even is being held back by our father. But I'm not one to throw thus saith the Lord around. It goes on and on. Deep state trying to get rid of President Trump and take the world into a world war in which they can rule. Where is this going? Nobody knows for sure, but we have somebody that has a real good opinion on things, and so that's Frank Stefan. He's the founder of American Voice Radio, and he has a program that you all should tune into called The Frank Report, where Frank is rather frank. So let's welcome Frank Stefan. Are you there with us, Frank? What is Frank? Is Frank? I think this. Oh, really? Well, you haven't listened to any of my programs where you're on. You know, I can actually say Frank about 10 times in about two sentences. Yeah, well, a radio program. I don't. Yeah, well, you should know it. You know, you're also, folks, he's also the producer. So any major mess ups or saves, that's all on Frank. I just sit here and talk. Yeah. 106 degrees, you said there? 108 degrees. We got like 85 degree weather, and it's dropping outside, you know. Well, it's cooling. It was 112? How do you manage in 112? You know, I've had heat like that before, but it's just, I thought you love it. Yeah, tons of water. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, I remember back when I was in the world, way back when I was a young man, I worked a lot of construction, loved working outside, but they gave us salt tablets to take when it was real hot, you know, with our water, so we wouldn't get sick. Got sick. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, Mal, you know what? I had the wrong button pushed, and only you could hear me. Now everybody can hear me.
Now everybody can hear
me. Thank you for the chat room that let me know that. And so much for the water advice and the public service announcement. You missed it.
You missed it. That's actually pretty funny because we were just talking about
blaming me, yeah.
blaming you if there was any problems, and then you created one.
Yeah, there you go.
But that goes because of the heat, you said. So
that's right, heat madness. I'm blaming it on that.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so...
hey, but so everybody can hear you, Dan, so that's really all that matters.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. You know, that's why this program has guests, so they don't have to.
Well, what they heard was just blank spots. So. Okay. Anyway, sorry about that, folks. My fault. It's fixed now, though. What do you want to talk about, Dan? Fill me in again. I know you went to a lot of trouble to, you know, get that intro ready, but. Where do you want to start with it?
Where I want to start was a good place to start is the blatant lie. I just got completely angry, and I always thought about doing the program by myself, and I said, no, I'd rather have your opinion. But my real problem that I had today, I was looking through the articles, and I came across an article that was talking about Syria and the refugees and how over a half a million of them went back, and then they started getting into polling data about whether they liked Assad or were afraid of him or whatever, and he has a better approval rating than most leaders in the world. And so, you know, there goes the big lie that they told that, oh, Assad's so bad to his people that we need to free the people. But it's a big, fat lie, and it's being exposed now.
It's like, yeah, okay, you know what? You know how long I've been griping on the radio about this thing in Syria for, a couple of years? Because right when it started, because I'm suspicious and by the time this got going, you know, Obama was clearly a problem to America.
Right.
You know, so I the minute, you know, I started looking at it, I can't say Obama was the architect, because I don't think he was, and I don't think even his administration was, because this has been going on quite some time. And when it all was figured out, this is what we're going to have to do, is because there's a pipeline they want to build.
Right.
And they have for a long time wanted to build this pipeline. There's actually two pipelines, but only one of them is a matter for Syria. The other one goes up north from there. But they end up at the same place in there. You know, it's a pipeline. And the thing is, okay, so Saudi Arabia can feed Europe oil and natural gas. Well, Russia already is supplying Europe with oil and natural gas through the pipelines coming through the Ukraine and going through Eastern Europe.
Right.
Well, Russia is an ally of Syria. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, this idea that Russia is some sort of, American foe is even a bigger lie than the Syrian lie.
Right. I agree.
But
I really do agree. I think that, you know, all this talk about taking over other countries, that's already there. I don't know exactly, because we believe people are free, right? Okay, but, you know, it's still their territory, their part of the world, and I don't really see where we should be butting into all of that, and let alone, I don't think Putin really wants to go to war, you know?
I don't think the Chinese do either. I don't think anybody does except the maniacs in Washington, D.C., and then the puppet maniacs they put around the world, like in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, the Ukraine is full of a bunch of nuts, too, that want war, and that's all they want, because that's all they can actually, you know, promote their... They don't have any answers except war, you know?
Right.
We got a boogeyman. We got to have a war. Well, what about health care? What about the monetary system? What about this? What about that? No, we got no time for that. We have a boogeyman over here. And they don't have to deal with any other problems other than we got a boogeyman. You need to be afraid, real afraid, run for the hills, shutter in place, whatever it is you got to do. We got a boogeyman over here. But don't worry. We're on it. We got you covered. You know, and that's Washington, D.C.'s whole, what do you call it, agenda? That's their whole... that's their foreign policy. You know, I laugh to even say foreign policy, because we don't have a foreign policy that, other than Everybody's a boogeyman who doesn't let us do whatever we want. We want a pipeline through a sovereign nation, so one of our corrupt, horrible so-called allies, for us to ally ourselves with Saudi Arabia is a disgrace. Now, to do trade with Saudi Arabia, fine. We should be doing trade with anybody. I mean, who cares? You know, fine, you're Russia. Okay, you don't agree with everything we do. So what? You got anything we need? We got anything
right.
You need? Let's do business. That's fine. We don't have to be friends to do business. Are you pals with every place you go do business with? No.
No, not at all. Not at all. I got lots of stores that I just have to go in and out real quick because I don't much care for the health, but that doesn't stop me from going in and buying their merchandise and so on and so forth, and it shouldn't. And that is a good point. That's kind of what you just said, I believe, is Trump's attitude. He wants to do business with the world, doesn't want to go to war with the world. He wants to do business, but Congress isn't letting him. In fact, it looks like Congress wants him to fail.
Oh, Congress wants the worldwide communist agenda, okay? And you know, people misunderstand what I'm saying. I am talking about America. I am talking about the worldwide communist revolution that we recognize as being started in Russia in 1917. I am talking about that. It hasn't gone away. It hasn't stopped. They have stuck to the plan, and they have made great inroads everywhere around the world, especially in the United States. And if you don't agree with that, go look up the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, and you read through that, and you ask yourself honestly, how many of those are not implemented by force in America today, and you will come up with zero. They are all being implemented by force in this country today. So tell me the communist revolution hasn't succeeded in this country. It has, and they are running the establishment in Washington, D.C., an establishment. Now, you understand the politics of this country. You know, even the so-called neocons, the so-called Democrats and Republicans, the deep state, they've all got factions within themselves. Okay? They are a house divided. You know, they really, really are. And as a nation, we are also. You know, and we know what the Bible says about that. And we can just, and we've talked about this before, we can kiss it goodbye. We're too deep in the mud. It's time to, you know, sometimes just, you know, get out of the truck, you know, watch it sink into the tar pit and walk away.
Right.
You know, and thank God that you're not still locked in the car while it goes into the tar pit, you know, and that's really where I feel we're at in America. And what makes me sick is not so much the Democrats criticizing Donald Trump over everything and anything, and if there ain't anything, they make something up. It's the Republicans, okay?
Right.
It's the ones that phonily say out there, oh, well, I've got nothing against Trump, but then they'll come right back out and say, but, and they'll say things that, well, you know, like firing so-and-so, that was probably a good thing, but I didn't like the way he went about it.
Right. They're still throwing a slam against Trump, you know, and that's the point. They screamed about getting control of, you know, Congress, the Republicans, and yet they produced nothing and did nothing. And I believe that's because they don't want nothing to happen. Also, you would think, it just seems like Congress that we would have had years ago would have been standing up and fighting on their president's side that they so desperately wanted a Republican in. Will they get one? He may not be their cup of tea, but they're not fighting for him.
Nope.
And if they're not fighting for him, they're part of the problem.
Well, it just goes to show what their true agenda is, and their true agenda is the status quo. And the deal about they're not getting anything done, well, you got to understand that, you've got to look at, well, okay, what is Trump trying to get done? What was his campaign promises? What does he get done? Okay. Repeal Obamacare. All right, well, that's in their view, that's not getting something done. That's undoing something they don't want undone.
Right.
All right, and that's the bottom line. They don't want anything undone. They want the status quo, those okay, just insert any really foul, nasty, vulgar word you can think of, folks, and put Congress after it. You know, all they want is exactly what the Democrats want, or Demoncrats, as I call them. And that's all they want, okay? They want exactly what they want. It's like if you and your wife say, hey, let's go to Walmart. Okay, fine, let's get in the truck and go to Walmart. You know, and the whole way to Walmart, you sit and yell and scream at each other about, you know, you're taking the wrong road to Walmart because she wants to take that road, you want to take this road. Hey, what difference does it make? It all ends up at Walmart.
Right.
And that's the difference between these Republicans and the Democrats, okay? They're all heading to the same place. They just, oh, I want to take this way and you want to go that way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what scenery we look at on the way to Walmart. We end up at Walmart. And that's where we're at with the Republicans. Their only gripe is, well, we don't want to take, you know, that way to where you want to go. We want to take this way to where you want to go. They're all communists, Dan. They have all sold out to the worldwide communist revolution. And if you look into that, folks, and this is something that, gee, you know, you really ought to be learning this in grammar school, but you're not even learning it in college in a history class. People really should learn, and you've got the internet. Go look it up. The Communist Revolution, 1917. Look at the factions, okay? They had Trotsky, and they had Lenin. Obviously, Lenin won, and Trotsky was assassinated because, see, they had two views. Worldwide Communist Revolution was where they both wanted to go. One of them said, we have to do this by force. You know, we're going to have to roll in, you know, wherever, and we're going to have to, you know, take over, kill the people in the government and put our people in and just take over. That's how we'll have to do this communist revolution. And the other faction said, no, we will infiltrate their establishments and we will put our people in that way. We will be patient and we will eventually take over without a shot fired. Those were the two factions. Now we know who won. Lenin won, and that was his idea. Trotsky lost. No, there's not going to be a shooting war. And that's exactly what they did, and that's what they have accomplished. And look around. It's worked. And that's who we have in our – those are the people. I'm not saying this is everybody out in America, but it's a lot of people in America. Okay, everybody out there screaming for welfare, screaming for, I'm entitled to health care. Everybody, it's a human right to have health. All of them are communists, okay? They might not even know they're communists. They just want what they want. But what they want is a communist system.
Absolutely. Let's stop right there. We're going to go to break. I looked up the 10 Planks of the Communist Manifesto. I sent it to my website, folks. You can go over there and click and see it. And we'll bring this up when we get back. But, Frank, tell them when they can see your program, and we'll go to break.
And the next one at 8 p.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Pacific time also. But you missed that one for today. Tomorrow I'll be on at 2 p.m. Right here on ABRN.
All right, folks. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, first off, if I sound a little different, folks, we've not yet been able to fix our system after the storm. You see, we have a new board that we thought it was, but it wasn't the board. So we have a new board. We needed one anyway. The other one was worn out. But the problem is, after I did some tests, it is definitely the sound card. And there's some other problems with that computer, and that's the one actually that I'm talking on right now. It could blink at any time. And right now, I'm using a USB headset that does not have the high-quality sound that we're used to. I miss talking into my high-quality microphone, and right now I'm using a headset. Thankful for it, and we're still getting the word out, no matter what the devil has to do about it. But the point is, we need to get fixed. Anyway, so you need to pray about supporting radio. I know that you folks are listening, so you must be interested in it. We don't have anything to sell you, and I know there's people from various incomes out there, so I'm not going to pick on you about that. My point is that we are a ministry that helps the homeless and poor, and we don't sell anything. Yeah, people come on the radio and they advertise their books, or you hear people with commercials. Those have nothing to do with me, so to speak, in the sense that I get no kind of cut from any of those things. If I'm promoting a book, it's because I, more than likely, I believe in the book. I'm not going to promote a book that I don't believe in. So there's the point. Or, you know, we may talk about a book and destroy it, whatever. You know what I mean. But anyway, so pray about it. We really do need your help. I need to get these things going. And we also need your help for the Wichita Mission Church. Help us to support the people that the Father sends us. People, men, women, and children, you know, people from all walks of life, come over to our place, whether they're looking for food, clothing, miracle prayers, Bibles, the gospel, you name it, they come looking for it. And we don't get any help from any organized churches. You know, we're shunned by organized churches. You might ask a church or two in Wichita, you know, well, what about Messiah's Branch or Pastor Dan's, as they call it? They say, well, yeah, they're doing a wonderful job, but do they bring us anything? No. There's a few individuals in Wichita that are just miracle people that have been bringing us things for bringing us things. But other than that, we really don't get any help, which is amazing, seeing how it's the largest group of listeners to our radio programs. And it's not the homeless and poor that are listening to the radio, not saying that they don't. But it is people that could help. And you folks, if you're one of these that listen, hey, you can even help by bringing old clothing, you know, because your clothing that you'll go now from summer to winter, you know, a lot of you just get rid of your clothes. Bring it down to us so that we can give it out to the people. People need changes of clothing. I mean, my goodness. And anyway, so we minister to people in a part of town that most people, and I know a lot of you are afraid to even come into this part of the city, but don't be. I believe that you come in there safely, call me ahead of time. We minister to people in a part of town that most of you folks just don't want to drive through, even after, I usually say after dark. But as of lately, it's got pretty bad in the daytime. But I just don't notice it myself on a daily basis because I'm used to being there. In fact, the city of Wichita is just okay doubling the police patrols right in our area. In fact, right out, when they were talking about it, they called it the South Broadway Corridor. And guess where we're at? We're at 900 South Broadway. Anyway, but shouldn't the body of Messiah be among the sinners, as Yeshua was? Right now, we're in what most ministries call a summer slump. We need help right now to buy food and pay missing church bills, and we need your help now to stay open. And all the new faces that come in, there's so many men, women, and children. We get new faces all the time. So many days, there's just standing room in the mission church. In the main room, we've got 40 chairs. We've got about another 10 or 15 chairs or places to sit inside. And then outside, we have a lot. But inside, there's so many times it's just standing room only. So why do so many people come to us? Why do they crowd into a little building like what the mission church? Well, because of love, and they're treated as family. They're treated with respect. They're treated as human beings, and we don't have any guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need, and that if we don't have what they need, then we pray it in. This is why even agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop those folks from helping, they send people to us. Can you imagine that? People have millions and millions of dollars in their budget and could write a check for $1 million, sends people to a place that has no budget. That's just craziness. Now, but that craziness has been going on by faith for 18 years. Now, you know, we are the last hope for so many, and folks, all of us, including you, are responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime. Airtime's due, came due on the 1st. Pray about supporting radio airtime or, you know, a donation to cover. If you wanted to make, if you wanted to make a check that would cover airtime, $250, but that isn't the point. If you want to write a check that would replace our equipment that we need replaced, you know, I think I can do it for $2,000, maybe a little less, but, or you can ask me what I need. I can send you a link to it. If you don't want to do that way, I can say, this is the piece of equipment I need. Let you pay for it and have it delivered here. So you don't even have to give cash if you don't want to. So pray about it. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. And now we're talking about many things. One of those was the 10 planks of communism, and we're talking with Frank Stephan. Or I know you're still there with us, Frank, right?
I am.
Well, anyway, other than that, so you are really here this time, or
everybody can hear me, not just you.
Oh, okay. Well, you were kind of like fake here before, you know.
No, I was just the voices in your head.
Anyway, I don't exactly know where we left off, but I looked up those 10 planks of communism, and I found a site that even tells you where they've been instituted at.
Well, I mean, yeah, I've seen those sites, too, and there's several of them, and they got different things, and some of them have the same things. It's really not hard. I mean, I like people to use their imagination, though, but you can go there and look at those, too. Those are good, I mean, to see, and, you know, once you see them, you go, yeah, and there's this, and there's that, and, you know, it gets you started thinking, and it's terrible, because they are completely instituted, and they're instituted by force. They're not instituted voluntarily, like, you can do this or you don't have to do this. No. No, if you don't send your kids to the public school, they will come and take your children away from you and put them in a foster home, okay? And that's part of the Communist Manifesto.
That was number 10.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, and that's already been implemented. I'm looking at these. I don't see any of them like abolition of all rights of inheritance. Now, that is one of the biggest things that drives me crazy. They don't want you to pass something to the next generation.
No, they want their big cut out of it before you can do that. And then they'll take you to probate, and maybe nobody will get anything. The lawyers will just eat up everything.
Right, and it's basically because they don't, that's making you, isn't that making you a subservient society, because it's taking away your riches, so, hey, if you can't pass the family farm or the family houses on down, well, then that makes the next generation poor.
Yeah, it does.
And so, you know, and so these things are all implemented. It's craziness to think that these could come in. You know, I remember as a kid growing up, man, you mentioned communism, boy, they were just out for blood, you know.
Yeah, well, they changed the name, okay? That's all they did. Just like, yeah, I don't know if you know this, but La Raza is no more.
It isn't.
Nope. There is no more La Raza.
What do they call it now? They changed it.
Let's see here. Easy for me to look up. I had it here before, but yeah, they changed their name. Let's see here. Well, go ahead while I'm looking this up.
Well, what I was going to say is, for some folks, if you don't know who La Raza is, La Raza is a group of both American, Mexican, so to speak, and others. And from Mexico, they're trying to get back the United States as part of Mexico. And they're really radical and good. They believe in I think they basically took over California, but I can't say I don't live there. And if you live in California and you have a different story, send me an email. We'll talk.
Well, but, you know, Southern California is over, okay? You know, and now, let's see here. They say the president of the Latino group says La Raza was a barrier to our mission. In other words, when people realized what a bunch of racist pigs they actually are, they said, gee, we don't like that. La Raza means the race, okay? And so it's all about race. So, we don't want that to us. So we're just going to call it something else. Yeah.
Right.
Let's see here.
We'll just call it something else.
Oh, God. See, this article goes around all the, you know, thing here.
Well, it doesn't even matter so much as what they call it, except for we need
to. Well, it does matter when a group shows up and they say, oh, our name's this. And you go, oh, okay, at least you're not those darn La Raza creeps. You know, it's UNIDOS US. UNIDOS US.
UNIDOS
US. Means
really?
Unified United States, basically. But now that's what they...
Unified United States.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yep, and that's what they're doing. Just like Blackwater changed their name when they got a bunch of heat. You know, this is the new thing. Let's just change our name. We don't change anything we do. We got some bad press. We're just change our name. That's all. And that's what they do, and that's what La Raza has done, too. So just be aware, folks, that when UNIDOS US shows up, they're nothing but the racist pig Latinos that they always were when they were calling themselves La Raza.
Well, you know what, and looking at these things, it isn't a wonder that Donald Trump is such a thorn in their side, because so many of these things, I can just see through some of the things that he said and doing is against these things.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, and the thing is, too, I mean, look, doing something like that is inherently dishonest, okay? When you just change your name to try to buffalo people into thinking you're something that you're not, you're basically a liar, and that's dishonest. And Donald Trump may be crude, he may be vulgar, but, you know, basically if he's allowed to just roll, he says what's on his mind. And you can disagree, and you can hate it, and you can say, oh my gosh, they're so rude. You know, and these are people that will cuss you up and down the street, okay, in their lives. But they'll
right.
sit there and tell you how rude and vulgar he is, and I don't like that. Oh, man, what a bunch of lying hypocrites this whole country is full of. You know, I listen to people at Walmart when I'm down there, talking to each other, talking to their kids.
Yeah.
Hey, you effing stop that. You know, that's what I hear. This is how they're talking to their kids. And
right.
Oh, Donald Trump's rude. Oh, really? You know, I'm...
Right, absolutely. Now, you know what, in fact, I just read a thing about moviegoers, about how they're, you know, especially among, you know, conservative or people, you know, like us or whatever, but they're getting so sick of all the bad language in the movies, how, you know, you go to a movie and it's G this and G that and all the different swearing.
Yep.
And but the left, you know, and you listen to them on TV and they talk and they slip, oh, I said the F word, or a congressman says it and it's from the left and sometimes from the right, but at least the right is kind of covering it up, I think, or the rhinos. But the point is that it's came so commonplace to use that vulgarity, but yet when it turns around and you have a conservative thought or idea or a godly thought, they, oh, it hurts so bad, but and because your words hurt us, we have a right to violence, to destroy things. Now, you know, that's just, they don't even realize it themselves, but they're killing themselves by, they're trying to take away the First Amendment. What do you think about that, Frank?
Well, yeah, everything they're doing, you know, look, there's some people at the top, and that's the only people that communism works for, okay, is the tyrants at the top. It works for them real well because they get everything, everybody else gets nothing. And you all get nothing equally. That's communism, folks, okay? You get nothing equally. You're equally
yeah.
screwed. Communism. Yes, we got to be equal. So, except if you're at the top, because they're special. See, they're the overseers. And that's how communism in the real world works. But not on paper, it doesn't work that way. And you get these kids and these egghead professors, they're teaching these children communism out of a book, okay? And, man, communism out of a book doesn't sound so bad. So
no,
we all share in our responsibility to work and make things better, and we all benefit equally. You know, not dependent on our skill level or anything, it's dependent on, you know, if you put in 8 hours, everybody who puts in 8 hours gets the same pay. you know, because you're putting in 8 hours, that's what you get, and it's all just a utopia where we're all equal and everything's sweet. Well, yeah, okay, on paper that is communism, but it has never, ever worked that way in the real world, ever, nowhere. You know,
right.
Nowhere. And everywhere they have tried it, it has eventually collapsed, usually within 100 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you have, let's look at that for a second. It's like this. You have, this is part of what helped bring down, made the USSR Russia instead of the USSR breakup is because of the economy. It wasn't so much from what we did, but it was from the economy. And it goes like this. If I have two people, and I'm going to use something real simple, Frank. I'm just going to say two people out in the field picking potatoes. And I'll tell them both, I say, okay, I'm going to give you $5 a piece for the day for labor or whatever. And they go out there and dig potatoes. Now, you know, that might work well and fine, but one of them soon figures out he's going to get that $5 whether he digs up one bag of potatoes or 10. And so one guy digs up 10 and the other guy digs up 5 or 2 or 3, he figures out he's still going to get the same money. So eventually the guy that's digging up 10 bags goes, wait a minute, he's getting paid the same as I am. He's only digging, 2 or 3 or 5 bags of potatoes. I'm doing 10. Well, I'm going to slow down to match his work, and before you know it, nothing's getting done. There's no quality. There's no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
At least with a capitalist system, it's supposed to work like, hey, the more that I do, the better that I do, the more raise I'll get, so on and so forth.
Well, sure, and it gets even worse in communism because not only does the guy who was working start slowing down and going, why should I work harder? I don't get anything extra for it. The guy who was finding out that, hey, I can get paid the same for picking one potato, he stops showing up to work at all and sits at home and still collects the check and says, oh, hey, look, we're all entitled to the same, look what's happened. I mean, we have a large population, and I'm not saying they're living it up and have the good life, but they are getting enough money. They're getting free housing. They're getting food stamps. They're getting free medical, free education, free everything. Enough to survive. Now, like I said, I wouldn't consider that a real great life or living it up or anything, because they're not getting rich unless they've got a drug dealing, business on the side, then they may be getting rich. But I mean, generally speaking, you got enough money to eat and basically maybe go out once or twice a month to do what normal people do, or the rest of the time, you know, all you can afford to do is sit there and watch the television, you know, and wait for the next check to come in. But you think you're entitled to that now. These people, honestly, if you went into these inner city places and said, listen, in 30 days, you're not going to get any more subsidized housing. You're going to have to pay for it yourself. You're not going to get any more welfare check. You're going to have to make your own money. You're not going to get any more food stamps because you're going to have to figure out, you know, a way to feed yourself. You're not going to get any more free medical. You're going to have to pay for that if you need it. They would go crazy and riot and scream and cry that they're entitled to these things. And you know what? Nobody out there is entitled to nothing that they haven't worked for. And on a deeper level, on a spiritual level, if you really want to know the truth, go check your Bible and it'll tell you the only thing we're really entitled to is death and hell.
Yeah, it says if you don't work, you don't eat. You are supposed to produce. You know, even salvation, it says you'll judge them by your fruit. For a tree that doesn't produce fruit is broken off and cast into the fire. So, you know, you can't, even with salvation, you're not supposed to just say, well, okay, I believe in Yeshua or Jesus and just sit down. You know, you've got to let it change you. You've got to produce fruit. And if you don't produce fruit, Yeshua said you'll be cast into the fire. And so it's a standard principle that communist is totally against.
Well, and because communism is really, on a spiritual level, humanism, which is a religion. And it's, if you want to cut it down even further, it's rebellion against God, which is truly Satanism. Now, you know, people view Satanism as, oh, we're going to, you know, chop up some chickens and wave their foot around and, you know, do stuff like that, that's Satanism or whatever, have grand masses and all this crap. And that's mostly, like you said, you know, yeah, well, like I heard somebody say, look, you know, you get bit by a snake, do not cut it open and suck out the venom, because if you've got any kind of, you know, abrasions in your mouth, you know, they'll go right into you. That's just for the movies. Well, most of those Satanistic rituals are just for the movies, too, okay? Satanism is rebellion against God, okay? That's who Satan is. I mean, you want to practice witchcraft and do other things, then that's witchcraft, and that's just a subsidiary of Satanism.
Right.
But the thing is, Satan's deal is rebellion against God. It's, I want to be in charge.
Right. It's do what you will. And if it feels, you heard the statement, if it feels good, just do it. Well, it continues on from that. It's rebate against God, against any kind of rule.
What did Satan say? I'm just as good as you. I can do what you can do. I'm just as good in everything as you are. Well, what does humanism say? We are just as big as God. We are the God. Us as humans combined are the God. We make our own decisions. We decide. We're in charge, and we can handle this. That's what humanism is. And that's a religion based on Satan's,
right,
you know, agenda.
Absolutely. And it is. You're absolutely right. Satanism is rebellion against God. Even if you don't know that you're serving Satan, if you don't serve, you are serving the devil. Because, like I said in the last program, I was talking to Carl, if you do nothing, you allow the other side to win. You know, if you have to make a stance. You have to make a stance. And you have to accept, you know, the Father's, you know, his book. It's called the Bible. Some of you have them on your shelves, and they have dust on them. Go clear the dust off, open the book, and read it. And when you read it, it's God's instructions for living. Back to you.
Well, yeah, and, you know, doing nothing is, you got to be careful. And really, it is important to read the Bible. Read it from cover to cover. And then, you know, after you do that, you can start cherry picking, you know, where you want to study and what you want to really, you know. You know,
right.
Do a Bible study where you focus on a book or a chapter or whatever. And, you know, that's all. That's profitable for you, too. But, I mean, I think unless you read the Bible cover to cover, and because I really do believe everything we see, everything we hear, everything we read becomes a part of us. We may not be able to, you know, okay, so I'm going to read, you know, the children's manual on a motor. I might not be able to recall everything that's in that manual.
Right.
But it's still in there. And
yeah,
the thing
absolutely is,
the Bible has more going on for it than children's manual does. There is a supernatural, spiritual element to the Bible. And I believe, and this is just my belief, this isn't, you know, so saith the Lord, this is
right,
just my belief, is that when you read the Bible, and I don't mean study it, I mean read it like a book. Just read it all the way through. Don't worry if something, well, I'm not sure I get that. Well, just keep reading. I believe when you get that in you, when you read the whole thing, that now you've given the Holy Ghost something to work with.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. I believe the same thing. It gives you something to pull on it. You know, it's like this. Our brains, when we first come into the world, are more or less like a blank tape recording. What we put in it is what information we have to pull out of it when we think about something. If you put bad stuff in there and you start to look for a solution to your problem, then all you've got is the bad stuff to go through. If you don't have anything good in there, you're just going to come up with a bad answer because you have to have it. The Holy Spirit uses that to work. You're absolutely right, Frank.
You know, my point in that is it's important, too, to give the Holy Ghost something to work with, because when you find yourself in a situation where, should I do something or should I do nothing? Well, you know, it's in the Bible, because lots of times God said, okay, this is what I want you to do something. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to do, you know, whatever. But then there's been other times where, no, I don't want you to do nothing. Like
right.
Jesus told his disciples, they said, well, you know, they pulled out a sword and cut a guy's ear off. And, you know, Jesus said, hey, no, put those away. You know, I'm not going to do anything to stop this. This is what has to be.
Right.
And sometimes, folks, you know, you got to pray and you got to look. And sometimes, even as unpleasant as some things are, sometimes they got to be.
Right.
And
that's,
you know what? For us to try to discern when that is and what those are, we will most of the time be wrong. So that's another reason why it's important to read the Bible, let the Holy Ghost work with you, but you got to give the Holy Ghost the tool to work with.
Absolutely. Okay, Frank. Well, we're running out of time.
All right, that happens.
You talk so much, you know how it goes. Tell them where to find you, and I'll get out of here.
My control over time is slipping too. Must be the heat.
Yeah, it must be.
ABRN.TV, that's the easy one, so just remember that. And I'm on 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. Pacific time. Thanks for having me on, Dean.
Okay, thanks, bub.
Dan, what was your name?
Goodbye, Frank. Anyway, folks, that was Frank Stephan, American Voice Radio, and his show is called The Frank Report, Frank's Awful Frank. Anyway, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, and we really do need your help for radio. Pray about it. Take it to prayer. We must remember, though, there is only one God, and He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and through Him and only through Him is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Folks, we love you. Be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.